Hi, I'm Clemmie Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. M&S hardly need any introduction, but I am thrilled to have them on board as the sponsors of Series 2. I don't know about you, but whenever I buy something from M&S, I feel like a proper grown-up. From a classic trench coat to a great cut suit, I always feel assured that I'm investing in something that will stand the test of time and will remain a staple of my wardrobe for years to come. Today, I am joined by two excellent women. One is a global Adidas brand ambassador, a personal trainer, mentor, and motivational speaker. She is Adrienne. And she is joined by DJ, fitness expert, sports nutritionist, backstage TV presenter of The Voice. She is AJ.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
The name of the game of this podcast is about being honest. And I like to start with a quick fire round to get us all in that kind of zone. So I'm going to alternate between you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
4.
AJ?
6.
Yes. I mean, she wanted to say 10.
There's no need to be...
Why are we bringing ourselves
no,
down?
No, I mean, I'm being honest. Cool. I said 4 because I know that if people saw me like fly on the wall being myself at home, I ain't cool.
Yeah, I'm not cool, but basically, I define myself as cool just because my nieces and nephews have started
to think
that I'm a little bit cool.
Okay.
And like when a kid, I mean, you both have children.
Yeah.
Children are so honest.
Yeah, brutal.
So once you've got their seal of approval, I'm like, Come on, I am doing well.
So what did you give yourself?
I give myself a 6.
But she's bumping it up.
But yeah. Now I'm giving myself a 7. I'm like, come on, man.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how nice are you?
9.
Ooh.
I'd say 9 as well.
Good girls, back yourselves. On a scale of 1 to 10, how strong are you?
9.
9.
Yeah, I like it. Night owl or early bird?
Early bird.
Night owl.
Dog or cat person?
Dogs. I can't stand cats.
Dogs.
Don't be pressured.
Do you like either? You don't like
neither.
Animals?
Neither.
You don't like animals?
I do like animals, but I'm quite scared of dogs because I've been bitten by one and chased by another. And cats are just quite snobby.
Yeah, they are.
They don't give me enough attention.
You don't like animals? Be out with it. But you are strong and cool.
She hates animals.
I don't hate animals.
Well,
we don't go together.
Introvert or extrovert?
Extrovert.
Extrovert.
What star sign are you?
I'm not into... Oh, Virgo. I'm not into star signs. I always have to think, but
Virgos never are.
I'm Virgo. Oh, really?
Mm. Oh my gosh, such a trick, Adrienne. I'm an Aquarius.
Are you?
Yes.
When did you last cry?
Oh, not really a crier. So when did I last cry? I'm trying to think of something that made me cry. I don't know, maybe a film? I don't know.
Not recently.
Not recently.
Last night. And I am very emotional, actually. So I cry, honestly, like every other day. It's so weird. I feel like even one scary thought, I'll just burst into tears. I'll just be like,
that's all right. Oh, nothing wrong with
that. I think it's good. You should probably let it out.
Yeah.
Says the non-crier.
I know.
When did you last weigh yourself?
I remember because I was in a hotel, so it's probably a couple of months ago. I was in Italy and they had scales in the bathroom. So I remember, and I don't own any. So I remember being like, oh, that's novel. Let me just jump on and see. So yeah, when I was in Italy about 3 months ago.
Last October.
Oh, wow.
I was doing a TV show. Yeah, but no, but like you
had to
weigh yourself for it. I don't weigh myself and I had to weigh myself for a TV show. So
yeah,
that's it. I've weighed the same for like 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of sit in the same bit apart from when I was pregnant, obviously.
Mm. No, yeah, you had to put on a few pounds to do that. Have you ever wet yourself as an adult?
What do you define as adult?
Well, over 18.
Okay, I'm trying to think because there was once, this is like not an adult, but it was definitely high school. So it was once in high school and it's because I was really desperate. I was running home from school and I still remember the trauma. Because I remember being like on my front door, just being like, I can't get my keys in the door. Then I got in the house, but I had school tights on and I just couldn't get there. So there's that time. And then also in labour. So that doesn't count. I mean, nothing counts in labour, trust me.
All the fluid.
All of it. So yeah, those are mine. AJ?
Yeah. And it was when I was training for the damn marathon. We're being honest.
Yeah.
I get the runs sometimes when I'm running,
long
distances.
That's really common.
Yeah.
Really common. Didn't get to the toilet in time, so I soiled myself.
Oh, gosh.
And
wow.
Even worse.
Absolutely traumatic. Yeah.
Oh, nothing you can do once you've got to that point of no return. How did you do in your GCSEs and has it impacted your life?
Oh, well, it hasn't impacted my life in one bit because I didn't do A-levels, I didn't do university. I actually went to performing arts school, but I did all right. I remember thinking in certain areas, I remember being like, huh, I'll show you, teachers. So I think in English, maths and PE, I got A's. And then I think I got like B's and C's. But I do remember my teachers just always being like, you talk too much, you're easily distracted, you've got lots of potential, but you don't use it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, this environment is not conducive to my learning. Like some skills are not quantifiable in the same way as like traditional academic learning, mm-hmm. but outliers often succeed and have, you know, achieved great things. So yeah, I kind of did all right and wanted to say to them, you see. So that's a long answer.
That's interesting, Adrienne, right? Because basically, I am going to say that I feel like I absolutely smashed my GCSEs.
Good for you.
I got two C's. I still remember I got two C's, three B's, five A's and an A star.
Yes.
And very much like you, Adrienne, I was always told, you're too this, you're too that, you're too loud, you talk too much. I had one teacher actually said, you are going to become nothing. She actually said that, and I remember being like, excuse me. So, oppositely to you, however, Adrienne, I do think that my GCSEs have done a lot for me, for my confidence and for proving other people wrong and actually justifying to myself that actually, whilst someone is saying that, you know, this is how you're meant to behave in this environment, you might break that norm, but it doesn't mean that you're worthless and it doesn't mean that you can't go on to achieve great things.
Amen.
It is interesting though to hear people's GCSE results because it's like you're everything, isn't it? And then no one ever asks you ever again. Where are you happiest?
I'm happiest when I'm abroad but with family, not when you're like working. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I'm happiest when I'm abroad in a hot climate with a pina colada in my hand with the option of exercise, you know, it's there, with mates, with friends and family.
It's always the sunshine. Yeah. Biggest regret?
My biggest regret is basically taking an ex-boyfriend back after he was unfaithful. That is my biggest regret. Why did I go back and waste another year and a half?
Was it that long?
Oh my gosh. I really like
tried. I hate him still.
Yeah.
We hate him now.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously he's cancelled now, but back then I was like still absolutely besotted and I was convinced that I could make it work.
At least you've learned from it.
Yeah, but blimmin' heck.
What a waste
what
of time.
What a long lesson.
I think my biggest regret would be when I was younger, and I say younger, but probably even in my 20s, trying to change myself and dilute myself and adapt to...
What other people?
Yeah, to make other people like me. Mm. Now I don't do that.
It's a joy of getting older, isn't
it? I'm sorry, not everyone can like you. It's okay.
No, never going to happen. Three words that your friends would use to describe you.
Oh, I think my friends would describe me as energetic, ambitious, fun, I hope.
Yes,
I'm your friend. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Adrienne, but I think my friends would describe me as loud,
of course,
ambitious, and emotional.
Yes, very true.
At least you know yourself.
Yeah.
Nothing if not self-aware.
Yeah, exactly. So that was supposed to be the bit that was like the quick bit, but you know.
No chatterboxes.
Yeah, no fear about getting you two talking. We are here to talk about a big topic, and the big topic we're talking about is fear. So I see you two as brave people, but as someone who suffers with anxiety, I have learned that it's often the people you least expect who are suffering with fear. So let's get deep into that. Do either of you have any irrational phobias, and what are they?
My only irrational fear is of snakes. I've never met a snake. I've never touched a snake. I don't know why I'm so scared of them. But I know for a fact if like there was a snake in
that
the
would...
box, I'd freak out.
See,
I know
that's
it.
Weird because I'm not scared of snakes at all.
Yeah, no.
Like, I'd just be like moving like
would
a belt.
Would you really?
Yeah. It's like
Do you know what, though? I think my fear of snakes relates back to my religious upbringing. So I've always been taught that, you know, the snake is the devil.
The serpent, yeah, the devil. Yeah.
And so
it's a sign of the devil.
So you see them as these really evil creatures.
Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, but there's a lot of mythology, like you say, religions that do use the snake as the sign of the serpent from the Bible. So yeah. That makes sense.
Small dogs I'm fine with, but big dogs I'm like terrified of. I got chased by a German Shepherd.
Oh, that is scary.
Was doing my paper round, and again when I was on my way to college.
Sorry to laugh.
Do you know what I mean? We're laughing, and I'm like, I thought I was gonna die. And also, a staff bit me on my groin, and it literally knocked me off my feet. And so,
well,
actually,
I mean, you've got every reason to be.
Yeah.
Having experienced the strength of dogs.
Why don't dogs like you?
I'm literally like, if a dog wanted to take you down, it actually could. Like, just
so
because you've met friendly ones doesn't mean that it doesn't have the capacity and the power to rip your head off. Because it actually does.
Although someone was talking to me about cats, and if you get bitten by a cat, you have to go immediately to hospital because they've got something in their teeth means that it's really, really bad. You have to be put on IV and antibiotics.
Tell you what, if you weren't afraid before, you are now.
We're well clear of animals. But let's talk about like more regular fear, which is, I guess, not anxiety, but when you're nervous about something. How does that manifest itself for you guys?
So mine is quite a long one, but the way it manifests for me is essentially I worry about things to do with health and to do with both, physical health, so getting an illness, a disease, maybe, I don't know, having an accident or an injury. So my husband has epilepsy and he suffered a brain hemorrhage, and it was a spontaneous brain hemorrhage. He was like healthy, fit, young guy, didn't smoke, didn't drink, like literally was training for London Marathon, PE teacher, a picture of health. Like you don't. And we literally went to bed one night. He had no headache, he had no pain, he had no symptoms. He'd been running, we went to bed, and he had a brain hemorrhage. So for me, that was the start, really. I don't think I'd ever experienced anxiety before in my life. I'd just kind of fortunately just floated along and I hadn't experienced that before. And I think actually when he had the hemorrhage, he suffered seizures as a result of it and then developed epilepsy. And honestly, like, it was so traumatizing, you know, obviously for him, but also for me to witness to those seizures, to have to think what to do, call an ambulance, to have to be the person responsible when he was then at home, trialing different medications. Is he going to have another seizure? Is he not? It was constantly feeling of eggshells of thinking you cannot control the situation and there's no warning sign. And that is what's scary.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do to manage it.
No, and if someone had said to me, I'm a real kind of like, I'm a statistical person, I like analytical thinking. If someone had said to me, this is the cause and this is the effect, I would have preferred that. But because it was this word of spontaneous and uncaused and all that,
I've just got to sit with it.
Yeah, because the way that then manifested, if I'm honest, is then I worried about other people getting sick. So I'd be like, if my son then got a cold from school, it's like a cold, like kids get colds.
Yeah,
but I'd then be thinking,
time.
Is he going to get a rash? Has he got meningitis? Is he going to get... It would spiral. And then with myself, I'd think, oh, I feel a bit tired. I've got a bit of a headache. Oh, what if I've got a cancer in my thyroid? Like, I'd literally just make stuff up because it was so out of the blue for Rob that made me think, well, anything could happen out of the blue. You can't just assume, oh, well, don't be daft. You're young and healthy and fit. Mm. So was he. And what I discovered about myself with that, the way I was coping with fear, was that I was kind of putting it in this box of going, put the fear in the box, shut the lid. And the way I used to speak about it was like, Rob had a seizure. It's never going to happen again. Yeah. He's fine now. And I kept saying it to myself, like, he's fine now. Like, you've got to move on. You've got to forget about it. Like, he's fine. He's fine. And that's like a denial. And that denial makes the fear worse because you're just ignoring it. And so over time, what I learned to do it was kind of like affirmations, and speaking it out loud was really powerful for me. So I used to say, instead of saying he'll never have a seizure again, I used to say, if he does have a seizure again, you'll know what to do. Mm-hmm. If he does have a seizure again, he'll be fine. I used to say, it's not the same now. And I used to say that to myself because it now obviously takes medication and, you know, you'd ring an ambulance.
It isn't a total unknown now, because actually when he has had them since, you know.
You have to know what to do. Yeah.
This is a mad thing. You think in all these, like, the worst case scenario, but often when the worst case scenario is upon you, you're like,
You act, yeah, you do. And I was calm.
It's the dread of that, which is the hard thing to deal with. It's so fascinating because if everyone was looking at your Instagram feed and looking at the amazing things that you do, you'd go, oh, look at, you know, look at her, she's nailing it.
And it is interesting though, isn't it? Like why certain people are naturally or, you know, more fearless than others, you know.
But then when it comes to myself and similar to you probably, things that just involve me, so like the marathon, we both did that together.
Well, this was about to ask about.
We were both terrified.
We freaked out.
I mean, an SAS.
We've got to talk about SAS. So AJ was on, what's its full title? SAS.
Celebrity SAS, who does wins for Stand Up To Cancer.
I mean, very catchy title. My word, if you haven't watched this, and it was hard watching it knowing you for real, because I mean, that is hard. That show is hard.
Yeah.
It's not really even a show. It's like some kind of torture test.
It's bananas, isn't it, really? Because essentially it's a show that's hosted by four ex-Special Forces guy. And they put us on a course to see whether we'd pass the test to be in the Special Forces. And we were in a really extreme conditions in Chile, in the Andes Mountains in South America. It was absolutely freezing. And we were sleep deprived, food deprived, bit dehydrated, and I was made to like abseil off the face of a cliff.
Well, you went in the ice, didn't you? Go in some ice water.
Yeah, ice water. And guess what? My two biggest genuine fears are like heights and deep water. One, because I nearly drowned as a child, so and I actually can't swim, so that's a rational fear. And heights. It's just high, isn't it? It's just so scary. And, you know, I was forced to do things that, you know, so my instincts are saying,
to rewind, how much notice are you given before you actually go on it?
I was given 2 weeks notice.
Oh, my word.
And I thought,
my palms sweat as a control freak.
Can I just say as well here that we sat together, do you remember, having brunch, and AJ said to me, oh, I'm going to do this show, I think. Like, yeah, my agent told me this yesterday. But, and I'd seen it, and I was showing you videos on YouTube on my phone, being
she's
like, babe, this is what you're doing in 2 weeks. And she was like, I think so. Maybe, is it that one? And I was like, yeah, babe. And I was like, at the time as well, because obviously you train, like I said, we'd done the marathon, but you were like, oh, I've not really been working out. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to hit a few classes. Maybe go to Barry's tomorrow. And I was like, babe, like, this is a big deal. Well, like, you need to prep for this.
But also, I mean, it is about fitness, but with something like that, it's just, it's a headspace.
It's very psychological. But do you know what, actually? Opposite to you two, and you're very prepared, I'm quite scatty. I don't know my diet until the night before or the morning of. I just go with the flow. I'm like, come on, May. My attitude is very much like, when you're faced with a scenario, you'll either do it or you won't. Mm. And I know that 9 times out of 10, I always just get on with it. I might have a little panic attack beforehand, but I just know myself. I'm like, it's fine. This is how I work. I work last minute, quite a spontaneous person. So I always just figure things out. That one, yeah, maybe I should.
Just looked at a few YouTube.
I was actually showing you a video and showed his house, be like, Ben, this is what you're doing. I was like, good luck. And then also, you were like, this is funny. AJ goes to me, oh, but it's in Chile, so, you know, get a bit of sun. And then literally you arrive to the foot of a mountain in the snow.
It's Baltic. I didn't even like check the weather forecast.
So how long are you there for?
There for 10 days. The first 3 days is like acclimatization, trying to get used to the altitude, which, I mean, it really does knock you sick. And then filming begins. And also, they don't tell you when filming begins. I just knew because we sort of went out for like a training run. I had a bag over my head and then they ripped the bag off my head and they're like, right, you're going to fall backwards out of this helicopter into the sea, swim to shore. I obviously couldn't swim to shore. I got rescued. And then you're going to get changed in front of everyone, carry 23 kg and run up this mountain. Go. And you're like,
but at that point, in terms of fear, like obviously you get that rush of panic, but there's nothing you can do. It's happening then.
Again, you're either doing it or you're not.
Honestly, I'm a summer person through and through, but seeing what's in store at Marks & Spencer's might just persuade me to enjoy autumn. There's some gorgeous knitwear and trend-led denim that make the cooler days seem a little bit more appealing. Head over to mns.co.uk to see for yourself.
Well, the scariest thing about that whole show, that whole process, was actually being left with your own thoughts. So I am very busy. I lead a very busy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I am emotional and I'll burst into tears. I'll get quite overwhelmed sometimes. However, one thing I notice that I don't do that often is like true deep reflection and, you know, take the time to just compute what is going on. Mm. And actually, the hardest thing about that show was, even though, you know, I was with 11 other celebrities and, you know, all of these people around me, I actually found the experience quite lonely, quite isolating. And yeah, I was forced into my own headspace a lot, which did actually freak me out. There was this part which was an interrogation. Mm-hmm. And we was holding stress positions for 13 consecutive hours in a dark room with bags over our heads. We had blindfolds on, but we also had the sound, like really distressing sounds in our headphones.
I didn't realise it was for that long.
Yeah, like back to back, it was awful. And I just remember the interrogation was so hard because there was no escape. And there was no escape from your own mind, which is... You know, I just think that your mind is so powerful. Mm. It can really bring you up, but it can take you to the fires of hell. And, oh, yeah. It's so stressful.
And again, that thing of not knowing when it's going to end.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's just, yeah, it's such a daunting thought. And it was honestly one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I came back to suffer with like nightmares for like 2.5 months. I was scared of the dark. I couldn't wear headphones. It was really awful. However, when you come out of that, you feel so proud of yourself. I've learned that I'm so much more resilient than I thought. I learned that I can bounce back from like dark moments. And actually, it was a real extreme form of therapy because you're like, okay, well, if I can do that, I can do anything.
Yeah, that is a really helpful place to get to, isn't it? With me, which is not the same, but I had 3 babies and my second 2 were at home. Mm. And once you've like, I've breathed the baby out, you've just got to have a reference point. You're like, whatever this is, yeah, I can do that. Or you can sit in a room with headphones on. Yeah. Or you can watch your husband have a seizure. And once you've got that reference point.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I also learned that fear is... you know, so fascinating for me, because fear can hold you back and it can be really crippling, and it can lead you to avoid certain situations and not put yourself forward for things that actually could be great opportunities. Mm. But actually, sometimes fear propels you forward. If you can somehow get the fear behind you to push you forward, it's actually a great thing. There was this one time on SAS Who Dares Wins that we was asked to sort of like do these monkey bars across a waterfall that was called the Devil's Throat. Awful name.
Awful name.
And
for
it was,
religious people.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Awful. But it was a waterfall 200 feet high, and you look down and the water actually disappears into a black hole. It just disappears. You're like, who's measured that it's 200 metres? It could be further.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I just knew for a fact that I was not
going to
fall. I was like, I'm going. And, you know, I was holding on to these ladders, which... honestly, it was like having knives dug into my hands. It was so painful. And, you know, I think this is a few days in now. You're dehydrated, you're knackered. Like, your upper body strength, if you had any to begin with, has completely depleted. And I just remember thinking, I am not falling down there. Everyone's telling me that, you know, don't worry, if you do fall, the ropes will catch you. But if you've got a genuine fear of heights, you never trust in anything. I don't trust that those ropes are going to break, and I'm certainly not testing it out 200 metres high. So actually, in that scenario, fear was really good, because I was like, to be honest, if I was only 3 feet from the ground, I'd have just let go.
But that's, you know, it's so interesting that you said that. A couple of things that you said, I was like going, oh yeah, you know. And one of them about fear then, is fear is actually essential. Fear is essential. So although we're saying, you know, irrational fears, phobias, etc., fear is a human emotion that is essential. Mm. And actually, when you were saying then about, you know, you lead a busy life and you know, we've always got stimulus. You've got phone, we've got TV, we've got things, we've got people around us. So you don't have to sit with your mind and sit in stillness or whatever. And so I think all of us now, because we do have constant, you know, stimulus, and especially our kids too, because we're never we never sit in boredom, or we never sit in stillness, or we never just have to, as you said, just be, then actually, like, when it comes to how, you know, that's something that's essential, solitude is essential, like, yeah, all of these things, and fear, if we didn't have it, you know, I guess, you know, boring, but ancestrally, like, that is what kept you alive. Mm. It's what kept you safe. It's, you know, there's a reason that anxiety exists. Yeah. And it is, you know, when it's bad, I can attest that you don't want to be feeling that at 2 o'clock in the morning in bed, but actually fear will keep you alive. Fear is something that if you didn't have it, we wouldn't be here as a species. So yeah, it's kind of that balance, right, of being like, yes, fear is okay, not just avoiding it, because if we just avoid a life of no fear, a life of no discomfort, yeah, we'll never grow, we'll never achieve. And that's something I'm mindful of as a parent, is that we can't keep our children from, you know, not feeling discomfort, not feeling fear, never feeling, you know, rejection, or how are they going to build resilience? They have to feel those things.
Mm-hmm. And I always like to think that actually fear and excitement are the same feeling, aren't they? And if you reframe it in your head, I call it school disco nerves. It's my first ever feeling of anxiety, is like before the school disco. And actually you go, oh no, that's excitement that I'm feeling. So before you do something scary, maybe like the marathon or public speaking, you can either say to yourself, oh, and go in this spiral of I'm anxious, or you go, oh no, my body's bringing its A game. I'm excited to do this. I like to throw these things out to Instagram, which I did the other day, and ask people on the internet about fear. So first I asked people to share what their phobias were, and then I asked people if they felt like they were getting more fearful with age, and 83% said that they were. But I mean, I'm wondering whether that's just a natural order of life, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think so, because I would agree. I think it's experience. I think it's knowledge. I think it's, you know, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I was 23 years old, and I was pregnant as well at the time when all that happened, and I was so happy. Like, similar to you, I was in a great job that I loved. I was performing in a musical in the West End. I was pregnant. I was newly wed. I was literally just like, great. Like I said, I didn't feel anxiety. I didn't feel fear. Yeah. It's things that have happened in life, or experiences that have taught me to be cautious. It's like putting your hand on the fire and burning.
Yeah.
You're not going to forget that. It's not to say you're going to go on about it and relive it every day, but you're not going to touch it again because you've been burnt. And so I definitely think people get more fearful with age, and it's something that I want to be mindful of, because I look at people that are older than me, like older generation in my life, and I sometimes think, oh come on, like, get out your comfort
zone. You start having those rules, like, you know, oh, I don't drive at night, oh, I don't go further than this,
or traveling abroad, and you miss out.
Just to say, for example, my mum is really scared of getting lost, so she won't drive at night and things like that. So for one Christmas, I remember me and my sister, we got a Tom Tom, and it seemed like so ridiculous, but it's given her a new leash of life. And you know, I'll say things to her like, mum, if you're freaking out, or you've missed the junction on the motorway, it's fine, just go on the roundabout and start again.
That is true. And then I also asked people how they cope, and a couple of people said avoidance and alcohol, which probably aren't to be recommended, but breathing, meditation, and CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is what I have had, and it was hugely helpful. Do you have any particular coping strategies?
So I think, as I said a little bit before, the affirmations and actually speaking them, because people will all go, oh yeah, positive affirmation, I've heard that, whatever, but they don't actually try it. Yeah, I think, like I said, it's really powerful when you say something out loud. You can say it until you believe it, so that's what I always say, because it's not about telling yourself a lie and fooling yourself, but say something, and even if you don't believe it at first, repeat it, say it every day, and say it and speak it to power, speak it until you do believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I don't know whether it's like a good coping mechanism, but I am, like I said, I'm very emotional. So now I know what to do. I'm a bit like, right, this is a formula that's worked for me in the past. First of all, just let it out. That's me.
Yeah.
And then what I've found massively helps, which is so underrated, people talk about meditation, exercise, all of these things, which is so true, like it does boost your mood, but sleeping, I'm telling you,
sleep is the power.
And then after a good night's sleep, you automatically just feel so much better, and then you've got, you know, more clarity, and then you can start to think, right, like, what went wrong there? How can I better it? You can't think straight when you're tired and anxious and emotional.
But the older generation were right when they say sleep on it. It's never as bad in the morning, is it? I used to work at Facebook. Have either of you been to Facebook offices? And they're plastered with affirmations, actually, which is really powerful. But one that is very common is, what would you do if you weren't afraid? And it's such a great question to ladder back to with every decision you make. You know, what's the safe option and what's the brave option, and what would be the consequence of that? Mm. Do you feel that you've pushed yourselves to be brave or face fear, and has that had a positive outcome?
Gosh, go on.
I would certainly say that I have. And sometimes I question why. I was thinking, why did you do that thing? Or like 6 years ago when I lost my dream job, like, why did I put myself back out there for more rejection, for the potential of more knockbacks? Like, why do I do it? Sometimes I do put that down to my upbringing and my background. I think, well, I'm from a very working class family. Both my parents are Nigerian immigrants. Both my parents to this day don't own their own properties and things like that. So I don't have a safety net of my parents or falling back on them financially or for anything apart from like emotional support, really. Sometimes I've likened some of my experiences to feel like I'm in the middle of a really dark tunnel, but I'm right in the middle of it. So I'm like, okay, if you turn around,
yeah, you're not going
and
anywhere.
Go back to the start, then you're literally traveling the same distance. You just might as well keep going forward. And that's just one of my biggest things that I tell myself every day, like, forwards is forwards. It doesn't matter how slow you're going, mm-hmm. progress is progress. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps me coming back for more.
Mm. When you said, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I guess the thing that I want most in life, if you like, you know, you're just talking then, it's like the bigger the reward, the bigger the fear, right? Mm. So the thing that I want most in life is to have more children. I absolutely adore motherhood. My husband is a brilliant father. I want my son to have siblings, and it's something that I want.
And you make gorgeous kids.
Oh, thanks. He is a cutie. So yeah, and I want more children. And due to different things, you know, husband's medication, different things, it's been really difficult, really difficult. So we did IVF treatment. That was very difficult. Again, you've got to be brave. You've got to do these things. And we conceived. I had two embryos. I had twin pregnancy and lost them both. So that at that time, I feel like I was like, okay, I've been brave. I've tried. No one can say you haven't tried. I tried. And what I would do if I wasn't afraid is I would continue to persist, and I'd just keep trying another thing, another thing, another thing until I got those babies. But if I'm honest, I think fear holds me back. It does. It holds me back. But if allowing yourself to dream, allowing yourself to believe, and then it all going wrong. So yeah. In my way of self-preservation in that sense is just going, oh, let's just leave it for a while. We'll talk about it again next year. You know, oh, I'm only 31. And I keep putting it off when the reality is, if I wasn't afraid, that's what I'd be doing right now. Mm. I'm not going to give up. But it's just funny when as soon as you said it, you were like, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I was like, that's what I'd do, actually. I'd be trying to have babies. And yeah. It's like lots of people, I'm sure, can relate. It's not as simple as being like, oh, I want to have a baby. But it's just like, you can't let the fear rule your life.
No, you can't. And otherwise your life gets smaller and smaller and smaller, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I ladder back to. You've got to push yourself hard. Otherwise, yeah, what's the point?
Mm. Watch this space, guys.
Watch this space. There'll be a crash at Adrienne soon.
I hope so.
Me too.
So this is a bit before the end where I get you to remind people of your social channels and also shout about anything exciting that you're doing that people might like to hear about.
So I am at AJ or D-U-D-U. Everyone spells my surname wrong. At A-G-D-D-U across all platforms.
You did just have to do those letters on your fingers, though. So
I know.
It's like when people ask me to spell Clementine, I'm like, think. It's hard.
Busted. I'll just spell you on there, A-G. Yes, and you can catch me on all of the platforms, like The Voice UK Kids. So I do all of the backstage presenting there. What else am I doing?
She's everywhere.
I know.
You can't miss her.
You can't miss her.
Just type in AJ, you'll find her.
Yeah, that'll do. You will actually find you quite quickly.
She's on the telly, she's in magazines, she's booked and busy.
Your girl's booked, busy, blessed. Thank you.
Hashtag. And you?
Mine is on Insta, Twitter, all of those things. It's at Adrienne LDN for London. And what am I shouting about? The Power Hour. I have my own podcast called The Power Hour, which is my passion and I love it. And yeah, that's what I'm working on.
Last but not least, honest conversation. Who would you have an honest conversation with, and what could it say? You say it could be a troll, a celebrity, a family member, a younger version of yourself, your child.
Ooh,
Oh, wow, they've got really big thinking faces on here.
Oh, but it's so
an honest, because it's honest conversation. Yeah. Like, if you just, like, have a chat with any, like, there's so many people, but an honest conversation, I would...
It's odd, isn't it? Because I go through phases where I think, oh, I really want to talk to my ex-boyfriend and ask him why he did what he did and why he didn't do you know what I mean? And like, why he didn't apologise profusely and why he allowed me to go on for years just asking myself questions, whether I'd done something wrong, whether I'd failed, et cetera, et cetera. But then sometimes I'm like, no, I never want to speak to him again. Obviously, I would.
I don't waste even, your breath.
Like, why would I waste my breath? Why would I waste my time? Sometimes I think teachers, my secondary school teachers in particular, there's some teachers that I just want to like reach out to and go, oh my gosh, thank you. Because I would say that there was a handful of teachers that were like, AJ, they saw me. Do you know what I mean? They were like, you're amazing. You're going to go on and do amazing things. And I was like, yes, you're so right. They,
you're right. I'm great. You get it.
But some teachers didn't. And I would say to those teachers, like, you don't realise like the power of your words and you really should be careful.
Yeah, I'm going to curveball it because there's so many people I'm probably thinking about in my life, like you said, who I'm like, ooh, honest conversation. But you know what? I'd love to have an honest conversation with Russell Brand because I love him. I love his brain. I feel this man, I listen to him, I watch his shows. I'm just like, when we meet, and it will happen, I just feel like, yeah, that's who I'd love to have a really deep, honest conversation with.
But you know
Russell.
You'll meet him and literally have no words.
Oh, no, I'm going to be ready.
He's just got so many long words.
His brain. I just want to go inside that brain.
Yeah. These girls have spent a lot of time being very honest, so I'm trying to add a little bit where I'm honest. So... this week, I'll be honest and let you know that I really, really don't get why young people wear their bikini bottoms so high.
To make the legs look longer.
I know, but they can't actually walk around with them like that.
So you mean like the thong one?
No,
the high-waisted
not the thong.
At the front?
But they're literally like up here now, aren't they?
Yeah, above the hip bone.
I had to try it. Yeah, I love it, but it's just a whole new thing, isn't it? It's getting higher and higher.
Well, I get the high-waistedness of it.
Because you want to make your legs look longer.
I get that, but what I don't get is the girls who give themselves a wedgie
with a non-thong bikini.
With a non-thong bikini.
So you're just shoving all the fabric between your
and it doesn't look good.
And it doesn't look good. I'm like, get a thong bikini or don't bother.
No,
it's so true.
But I know it's making me sound really old, but I'm finding it quite weird.
No, I find that weird. Gosh, there's so many things I find weird.
But I really appreciate you talking to me a lot about fear. It's been really interesting, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to really check myself, I think, on my own behaviour and know a lot more about you two that I might not have expected. So I've been Clemmie Telford and these two lovely ladies have been Adrian and AJ, and this has been Honestly Podcast. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe and tell your mates all about it. Thank you very much.
See ya. Thanks.
That's almost it, but I'm going to do that usual thing at the end where I say, please do rate, review and subscribe. It means a lot to me, and also it means that you get the episodes before anyone else, so it works out well for both of us. And before I go, one final thank you to the brilliant team at M&S. I'm over the moon to be partnering with them on this season of Honestly. These guys are making it possible to bring these important conversations to life and supporting my mission of truth and transparency, as well as making my very favourite cashmere jumpers on the high street. Oh, and one final thought. I'm always looking for inspiration for new subjects. So if you've got any topics that you'd like me to cover that I haven't done already, please do send your suggestions my way. You can either leave a comment below on iTunes or hop over to Instagram and send me a DM, and I'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much.